Our scripture is going to be shared this morning by Bob Reisdorf, or Reverend Reisdorf, as he likes to be called, as he brings the word to us.
Morning, everyone. Now I got a mic in front of me, right? Everyone can hear me? Just wanted to make one little comment before I read the scripture about my mother. My mother is in very good spirits.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
She is.
And it's because of being a believer in Christ. And she knows where she's going, regardless of what happens. And that makes it easier. So that's the good news about the whole thing, is that we've had a lot of family discussion about what if and this and that. And so she's in good spirits about it, and we'll hope for the best. But medical science can only keep us alive so long. And
the rest is up to
the Lord. Yeah. It falls in God's hands. So, anyhow, she's in good spirits. So I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 45, verses 16 through 28. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan. And bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land." You are also directed to tell him, "Do this. Take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of Egypt will be yours." So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best of things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent to his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, "Don't quarrel on the way." So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, "Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is the ruler of all of Egypt." Jacob was stunned, and he did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of his father Jacob revived. And Israel said, "I'm convinced. My son Joseph is still alive, and I will go and see him before I die."
And the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you, inspired by your spirit, you recorded it for us so that we can know you better, so that we can know the working of your ways and the wonderful God you are, and how, Lord, we can live under your care and under your blessing, and Lord, how we can live in a way that makes you smile and brings glory to you. So Lord, we thank you that your word is alive and active, and equips us and instructs and teaches us. So Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word this day. Give us hearts to hear and receive from you, in Jesus' name, through whom we pray. Amen. Last week when we were in the story of Joseph, we got to the point where Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers. We couldn't hold back anymore after putting them through the test. I wanted to see if they were really repentant and sorry for the way that they had treated him and selling him into slavery. And Joseph revealed himself to them, and they wept, and the brothers were reunited. And we saw the beauty in that, and how we learned together last week how God can restore in the power of forgiveness. and those that we had to learn in our life to forgive, maybe even still, from the grudges and the things that have been hurts that have been done to us in the past, and to release those and to let them go. The story picks up that when Pharaoh heard the news that his brothers had come, he was overjoyed. And he gave and instructed Joseph to give them a bunch of blessing and abundant blessings that he poured out upon the brothers. And it was a time of great joy and happiness. And if you could summarize the lesson, the scripture that Bob read for us in one word, it would be this word, abundance. Because we have an abundant God who loves to give to you and me in abundance. But understanding about the kind of abundance that our Lord gives. Because there are many people that teach that our God, because he's abundant and wants to pour out abundance on you, and that all you have to do, you can have whatever you want. If you want a Cadillac in life, if you want the best in things, just tell God and name it, and he'll give it to you if you have enough faith. Because God wants you to have the best of everything. And there are those that have come up with that. It's called health and wealth or prosperity gospel. Have you ever heard that kind of teaching? That God wants you to be rich and prosperous and abundant. And yes, God wants us to be abundant. But he doesn't necessarily say that we're not going to go through times of hardship, are we? There's going to be hardship in our life. And there's going to be times of adversity. And so having a proper understanding of what our abundant God is, who he is, and the abundant blessings that he wants to bestow, we can learn together from this chapter as we look at our abundant God and the abundant blessings that he bestows. Because there are three, we can see three abundant blessings that he wants to give and does pour out upon you and I. And he is abundant, he is lavish. And when he pours out his blessings upon him, there's no supply, there's no limit to it. Because our God is an abundant God, knowing no limits at all. And our abundant God wants to pour out to you the abundant blessing in abundant provision. And verses 16 to 24 tells us that when Pharaoh heard the news, he said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers to take the carts of Egypt, the best that we have, and to go down to Canaan and bring your father back, and you're going to live in the best of the land, and all the best of Egypt is going to be yours, and you're not going to need anything." And that shows the kind of God that we have, that he is abundant in his provision, that he provides for all of our needs. Notice they were provided for here. Pharaoh took care of their physical needs, and that they would have the best of Egypt provided for them. He took care of what they would need materially. He said, "Get your father and bring him back." He took care of their family needs, their emotional needs, and that separation that had been there, and the reconciliation of all of that. And that's the kind of God we have. He's promised that he will take care of your needs for you. Doesn't necessarily mean everything we want. But he, as our abundant God, will provide lavishly for all that we need. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know the verse. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not" what? "Want." That "want" means lack anything that I need. All that I need will be provided for by our loving shepherd. And we can trust him in that because he's abundant in his provision. Psalm 65 verse 11 says, "You crown the year with bountiful harvest, even the hard pathways, even the hard times of life overflow with abundance." All that we need will be taken care of for us. We can trust him. So why, if our God promised that he will take care of our needs, why then sometimes do we worry and doubt about it? We do, don't we? It's our humanness gets in the way sometimes, and we worry and doubt, will God really provide? When Israel went through the wilderness, 40 years, God led them through the wilderness in that time of testing, providing for their every need. The scripture tells us that their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. For 40 years, God saw that their clothing and their shoes never wore out. When they needed water, he provided for them. Every morning, he provided manna from above. But yet, they griped, they complained, they wondered, they questioned whether God could take care of them. Don't we do that too? But our God is abundant in his provision. He's promised that. The best of Egypt was going to be theirs. All they needed, given in an unending supply. And they were going to be sustained through the time of famine. Our God provides for what we need, all of our needs. So what do you need this morning? Is it physical, spiritual, material, whatever? Trust God. Rely on him because he will meet that. In his abundant provision, he also provides in ways that we don't expect. The brothers were not expecting this response from Pharaoh. When Pharaoh said, take the Joseph, give this order, take some carts from Egypt, your children and your wives and your father, and come back. That's what he directed them to do. He said, never mind about your belongings, because the best of Egypt will be yours. So the sons of Israel did this, and Joseph gave them carts as Pharaoh had commanded. And he also gave them provisions for their journey. He gave them new clothing. To Benjamin, he gave five sets of clothing. We'll come back to that. But everything was loaded down with all the provisions for the journey, and he set them back. Now imagine Jacob. Jacob's back in Canaan, and it had been several weeks since he had sent them off to Egypt, wondering what was going to happen. He had sent them off with fear and dread. Last he knew, Simeon was still in jail. He didn't know what was going to happen to Benjamin. He didn't know if he would see his sons again. And then all of a sudden, they come back in a caravan with carts loaded down with all kinds of the best of Egypt. Now, we think of a cart, we think maybe the Beverly Hillbillies, you know, or a farmer loading up his stuff and gone to market. But in those days, people couldn't afford to have carts. Only the wealthy could afford the cart. And these carts were not any ordinary cart. It says they were the king's carts. They were made for royalty. And when you think of the Egyptians, they were the ones that had the chariots first, chariots and horses. And these would have been like the top of the line. And God provided, not only did he provide, but he provided the best available for them in a way that they could not expect or didn't expect. And that's the kind of God we have, that he often, in his provision for you and me, will provide or show up for ways that we don't expect or imagine. God's abundance far exceeds our expectations. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. I love that word, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You and I have a God that can do far more than we can ever imagine or begin to dare to dream. He does exceedingly abundantly over that in ways that we can't think. And so often, our faith is so small that we limit God and we doubt. But know that he will show up. He will provide for your needs in ways that you cannot expect. Because if it was ways that we'd expect, we would think it came from us, right? But when it's ways that we don't expect, we know that that was God. We know that it was his provision, that if it wouldn't have been his hand, we wouldn't have received it. Ephesians 3:20 in another translation says, he is able to do immeasurably more. That's the NIV, immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. And God in his provision, abundant provision, provides at just the right time. Often, he doesn't provide early. He doesn't provide late, but it's when just at the right time when we need it. And often he does that, it's so that we trust in him. The brothers came back in verse 25. They went up to Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. Now Jacob was there with the remainder of the family. They had been, all their supplies had run out. That's why he had sent them back to Egypt, because they were there and all the supplies were run out. Jacob didn't know what was going to happen to the family. We had read when he had sent them up to Egypt the second time, he said, well, go take Benjamin. If something happens to Benjamin, If I perish, I perish. Jacob was not in a good point. He was desperate. He had thought, as far as he knew, Joseph was dead. He thought Simeon was gone. He didn't, something might happen to Benjamin, and he didn't know where he was. I mean, he was in a destitute point. But they came back with all those provisions at just the right moment, and that is how God likes to work. Howard Hendricks, who was a professor, well-known professor at Dallas Seminary, tells this story about Dallas Seminary and its founding. Shortly after Dallas Seminary was founded in 1924, they're 100 years old this year, it came on the brink of bankruptcy. The creditors were going to foreclose at noon on a certain day. And that morning, the founders of the school met in the president's office to pray that God would provide for them. One of the men present at that meeting was the well-known Bible teacher, Dr. Harry Ironside. When it was his turn to pray, he said, "Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are thine. Please sell some of them and send us the money." And that was his prayer. While they were praying, a Texas rancher strode into the business office and he said, "I just sold 2 carloads of cattle at Fort Worth. I've been trying to make a business deal go through, but it won't work. I feel that God is compelling me to give this money to the seminary. I don't know if you need it or not, but here's the check." The secretary knew how critical the need was, so she took the check, knocked on the door of the president's office. Dr. Chafer took the check, and he saw that it was for the exact amount of the debt. When he looked at the signature on the check, he recognized the name of the Fort Worth cattleman. And turning to Dr. Ironside, he said, "Harry, God just sold that cattle." And that's how God works. At just the right moment in our life, when we need that provision, when our strength is gone, when we're at the end of our resources, when we feel that we can't go on anymore, God comes through. Remember the story of the widow of Zarephath. Whenever she was down to her last bit of oil, and Elisha the prophet said, "Make cake for me first." And when she did, God blessed it. And then she continued to supply the need over and over throughout that time of famine. At just the right moment, our abundant provision and an abundant God. But our abundant God also has abundant blessing, secondly, by giving us abundant life. Jesus said, "I have come." The reason why Jesus came is so that we would have life. And not that we would just have life, but we would have it abundantly. God wants you and I to enjoy an abundant life with him. Not just life in heaven, but abundant life now. Amen? And to live a life full of abundance. What does that mean? How do we do that? John chapter 5, verse 24 says, "The one who hears the word of God and believes," hears the word and believes the word of God, "has life in abundance. And he has passed from life to death." If God wants to give, and Jesus came to give you and I abundant life, how's come so many times we as believers don't live that way? How's come we are dejected, or we have our spirits down, and we don't live, realize in the abundant life that God has given us? It's because we're not taking the word of God and acting upon it. We see here the abundant life in verses 24 to 28 illustrated as they took all of that and they went back, the best of Egypt, and they went back on their way. And we learned several principles of how we can live an abundant life. First is to get rid of our quarreling. Notice what he says to them. He sends them back in verse 24. He sends the brothers on their way. And as they were leaving, loaded down with all the best of Egypt to go return to their father, he gives them this word, the last thing he says to them: "Don't quarrel on the way." Now, why do you think Joseph told his brothers that? I think the reason why Joseph told his brothers that is because he knew his brothers. And he knew what they were like. He knew that they were a bunch of scoundrels. And now they were loaded down with the best of Egypt. And not only this, they all had new clothes. But Benjamin had 5 sets of new clothes. Benjamin had 300 shekels of silver in addition. Have you ever had sibling rivalry in a family when one member of the family gets more than the other? If your brother or sister gets more than you, does that make feelings of quarreling and resentment? You know how many families, when wills are being opened, they fight over things and they don't talk for years after that because one family gets something else that somebody else didn't get, and there's that quarreling? Is that abundant life? No. And the blessings that God meant to provide in the abundant life are missing out on because of quarreling. Or sometimes we can quarrel with God. When we're going through those hard times, we feel he hasn't provided like we think he should, or when we think he should, we can quarrel and get angry with God. And people do. And it keeps us from enjoying the abundant life that God has promised us. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder, you covet and you cannot attain. You fight and you quarrel. You don't have because you don't ask, and you don't ask because you don't receive, because you ask wrongly so you can spend it on your own passion." So if we want to have abundant life, we need to get rid of our quarreling spirit toward God and amongst others, because that keeps us from enjoying the abundant life that God wants to provide to us through his son, Jesus. Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 26. The setting there is that Jesus is having the final meal, the upper room. He's having the last Passover with his disciples before he was ready to die. We now know it as communion. He was instituting that final meal with them. And he had just served them. He had just went around and washed their feet. He had just served them and said, "Here is the bread. Here's the cup." The evening meal was served. And then as he got done doing that, it said a dispute broke out among the disciples over who was the best and who was the greatest one. Who maybe they were mad because John was sitting next to Jesus and they wanted to be there. And a dispute broke out and Jesus said, "The greatest among you is who? The one who serves." And he said, "I come to give an example." And they weren't enjoying the abundant life that Jesus was providing for them because their quarreling and infighting, even amongst themselves as disciples, kept them from experiencing the full joy and blessing of the Lord. And that can happen in our life. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15 says, "Do everything without grumbling." Boy, is that hard, huh? Boy, that one's hard for me whenever I'm in the car, to do anything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. The rest of that verse says, so that you can become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, so that you will shine among them like the stars in the sky as you firmly hold out the word of life. When we get rid of that quarrelsome spirit, our life shines brightly for Jesus, and we live that abundant life he's promised. We also have abundant life when we release our doubts. Notice what happens in verses 25 to 26. The brothers go back, and they tell their father. They went up and they said, "Joseph is still alive," they told him. "In fact, he's ruler in all of Egypt." And it says Jacob was stunned. And what's it say? What did he do? He didn't believe. He doubted. He doubted that Joseph could still be alive. And he doubted the message. And so his doubt was keeping him from experiencing the abundant life that God wanted to give him. Because his doubts, he couldn't believe it. And we do that too. Our doubts can keep us from experiencing the abundant life God wants to give. Our doubts that we believe that God will provide for us. Our doubts that we believe that God will take care of us. Our doubts that we believe that what we need will be provided and taken care of. We can doubt that. And why did Jacob doubt? Because the same reason we do. Because sometimes it's contrary, the message of what we're hearing is contrary to what we believe to be true. When the brothers came back and his sons came back and said, Joseph's still alive. In fact, he's not only alive, he's the ruler in Egypt. Jacob said, yeah, right. He's been dead for 22 years. I know he's dead. And you're coming and telling me he's alive. It's not true. Why are you telling me this? I have enough misery of what you put me through. Now you're telling me that Joseph is alive. And he doubted it because to him, what he thought was true, the message came contrary to. And sometimes people don't believe or we don't accept the word of God sometimes, or people don't want to accept because they think it's contrary to what we believe to be true. Or it sounds too good to be true. For this message, this was too good to be true for Jacob, that Joseph was still alive. That not only was he alive, but he was ruler in Egypt. That was sounded way too good to be true for Jacob, and he doubted it. Sometimes people have a hard time accepting the truth of the gospel, that God loves us, that God gives us freely, that God forgives our sin, that all of that is free by faith. And that sounds too good to be true for some people. And a lot of people, if you tell people, in order to get to heaven, you have to do a bunch of good works. And if your good outweighs your bad, and if you do enough good works, people will believe that. But if you tell people it's by grace and believing, by faith, people say, that's too good to be true. I got to earn it. And they doubt. And it's those doubts that come in. It can keep us from enjoying the abundant life God wants to promise. So we need to get rid of that. But when he saw the evidence, it says that when they told him everything that was said, and when he saw the carts, verse 27, when he saw the carts, when he saw the evidence, he finally believed. What helps us release our doubts is when you look back in your life and you see the evidence of where God has provided for you in the past, where God had been faithful to you, where God came through in your life at just that right moment. Maybe there's time he's bringing to your mind right now, but when you look back and you see how he was faithful in the past to you, you think he's going to forsake you now? You think he's not going to provide your need in the future? He will, because he's faithful. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And we look back and see the evidence. We can take our doubts away and have the belief in an abundant life that God has promised us. As long as we have doubt in our life, we're not going to experience the abundant life that God wants to give us. We got to release that to him. Get rid of the quarreling and confess our sin. In verse 26, it says that they came to him, to Joseph, and they said, Joseph is still alive. In fact, he's ruler of all of Egypt. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us, but we can infer here that whenever the brothers came back to their father and they had to tell Jacob that Joseph was alive, you think Jacob would have said, well, wait a minute. You came and told me that he was killed by an animal and torn apart. What's the story here? And it probably led them to confess their sin. They had to come clean before Jacob. And they had to confess, yes, we had sold him as a slave. Yes, we had done this. And they finally confessed to their father the sin that they had covered and hid for all those years. And that's when we experience abundant life. When we try to cover that sin from the father, when we try to hide it and we don't own up to it and we don't confess it, we're not going to have an abundant life, a blessing from God. But it's when we come to that confession, it's freed and we're liberated from it. And God takes it from us forever. And we have that abundant blessing when we confess our sin. And we have abundant life when we have our heart revived, when we revive our heart. Notice what it says here in verse 27. When Jacob saw this, the carts, and they heard the news, it says the spirit of their father Jacob revived. That word revived means come back to life again. It was like an ember almost being ready to be stuffed out. But his heart was revived and came back to life. And when the Lord revives our heart through his spirit and rekindles those flames and those embers that are in our heart that once were passionate for him, and they're about ready to go out, and he rekindles those flames again, and he fans them and renews the passion in our heart again. Boy, that gives us an abundant life when our heart is revived and refreshed and renewed by the Spirit, which he wants to do in us. Psalm chapter 68, verse 9 says, "You sent abundant rain, O God, to refresh the weary land." And sometimes does your heart feel weary? You feel parched and thirsty? We need the Lord to send that abundant rain, reviving our heart again, rekindling that love and passion for him. He wants to do that if we but open our heart and allow him to do it. Abundant provision, our abundant God gives us abundant provision. He gives us abundant life. And third, he gives us abundant grace. Abundant grace. As we go back to verses 16 to 20, when the news reached Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was pleased that the brothers had come, and he gave the order to Joseph to give all these gifts and all these provision to his brothers. And I ask you, why do you think Pharaoh bestowed all these blessings and provision and favor on Joseph's brothers? Do you think it was because they were special? Do you think it was because they had earned it? Do you think they were worthy of it? They definitely were not in the way they treated Joseph. It was because of Pharaoh's love for Joseph. That was not earned by the brothers. What that tells us, when God gives us his grace, it's freely given. It's not earned by us. It's on account of love for his son, Jesus Christ, that he bestows his blessings upon us. And he freely gives them out of not any merit on our own, not anything that we're worthy of. The brothers sure didn't do anything to earn these gifts, but they were freely given by grace. And God freely gives his grace to us in abundance. Because the scripture says where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, praise God, that he freely gives it to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says, "You receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness to reign in life through Jesus Christ." The God freely given pours out his grace upon us because of the love for his son. It's all by grace, freely given. And his grace not only freely given, but it freely restores. Second Corinthians 9:8 says, "And the God who is able to make grace abound to you, so that in all sufficiency in everything you may have abundance for every good deed." But his grace also fully restores. The grace was able to bring the family back together, and it restored Joseph to his brothers. It restored Jacob to Joseph again, and it brought the family back together, and it fully restored, and it was because of the grace bestowed upon them. And God's grace given to us fully restores us back when we were broken, when our relationship with him was broken because of our sin. God in his grace reached down to us through Jesus, gave his life, died on the cross, paid our price. We rose again, and by trusting in him, we received that grace freely, restoring us back and making us in relationship with him. So what an abundant God we have. Pours out lavish upon you and I his blessings. Abundant provision that all you need will be provided for you. Giving us abundant life if we but take his word and live by it. Getting rid of our quarreling spirit, our doubt and our fear, confessing our sin, and giving us abundant grace, not that we deserve, but that he pours out lavishly upon us, restoring us to himself. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are an abundant God, that you give and you give, and you give again. That you are lavish. And Lord, we don't have to fear being in need, because the Lord is our shepherd. We will not be in want. And so, Lord, when we many times forgive us for our doubts, that we doubt whether you will come through, whether you will take care of our needs for us, and we worry and we have anxiety. And Lord, forgive us of those things. Lord, we need to get rid of those doubts in order to enjoy the abundant life that you want us to have. And Lord, also the quarrelsome spirit that we have at times when we covet or we desire what someone else has, or even sometimes our anger with you because we feel that you may not have come through when we feel that we want you to. And those things keep us from experiencing the abundant life that you promised us. And so, Lord, thank you that you have come to give us life and to give it abundantly. And Lord, may we enjoy that life of abundance as we walk with you, surrender to your spirit and in fellowship with you. And we thank you for that abundant grace that knows no limits, that is greater than our sin, that we don't deserve, but even in our worst, you freely bestowed upon us so that we could know you and be loved by you. So Father, thank you for being an abundant God. Thank you for being abundant with your blessings. And Lord, may we be ever grateful, knowing it's not because of what we deserve, but because of you. And Lord, may we enjoy that a blessing each day as you bestow it upon us, and as we praise you and live and walk in your favor. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.